And let me send out the agenda. Again, sorry, this week I did a slight reordering because we can only get Drummond in the first 30 minutes, and so we were eager to hear some updates from the conference that he and Manu were at last week. We have a lot to talk about with regard to DIDs today. So I just sent out the agenda. Do we have, let's see, do we have any unidentified people that we should identify yet? Let's see.
Yeah, 805 area code.
I came in on Skype. My name is Lionel Wahlberger. Unfortunately, I'm in motion today. This is my first time attending. I do know Chris Allen well, so he might fill in if I leave out anything.
Got it.
I'm happy to be here. If you want to hear anything else, I'll share it.
Excellent. Thank you for joining us, and we will revisit that in the introductions parts coming up shortly. Let's see. So for the agenda, actually, I should check. Manu, is there any other unidentified?
Yeah, we've got a 41 country code, 4144.
I think that's Maria and myself.
Oh, okay. Well, who else is calling in from an international number to the U.S. anyway?
Well, Jan Komenich and Maria said they were...
Yeah, we have Jan and Maria, but they're on the same line. There's somebody else.
The country code
definitely
is 41.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Our country code will be 41.
Yeah. No, that's fine. So we have Lionel, Manu, Jan and Maria, Christopher, Dave Lane, Nathan, Adam Lake, Adrian Gropper, Kim, Adam Migas, Moses, and Drummond is the last one. If I didn't call your name, who are you? Ghosts. We have two ghosts on the call. Okay. We'll keep going.
Okay. So for the agenda today, we're going to start with introductions and reintroductions. We'll go over the current action items. And let's see. Originally, we had the data minimization and selective disclosure part first, but we're changing that to do DID updates first. So we're going to hear from Drummond and Manu for their updates on the DID spec and various other developments. And then we have some updates. Christopher, Ryan, and if he's present, and I can talk about some insights that we got from the BTCR hackathon. So let's get started. Lionel, could you tell us more about yourself?
I work at Cisco Technologies. I have a background in cryptography and security. I was involved, I have some friends on the call more than I thought. Adrian and Drummond was active in IAW for quite a few rounds, and I'm involved in the data sovereignty space. I was lucky to reconnect with Chris recently over a possible blockchain project, and we sat together on an ACES committee with Drummond a while back, and I was so excited to hear about the work that he's doing now. I said, what do you recommend I join? And he recommended this, so here I am. Also, it's something to look forward to. If I become a regular, which I think will happen, I enjoy scribing, so we might solve the scribing issue.
Oh, wow. We'll try not to abuse that. Cool. Well, thank you for joining us today. Let's see. So let's go through the status of current action items. For the first one, the poll for priorities on work items, that's done. I'm just going to remove that from our current action items track going forward. That's great. We've had several on hold for like a month or something, so we're getting things removed. The next thing is the naming options. We had a high-level poll just to go through the pivot of, do we want to keep the same name, or do we want to rename to something involving self-sovereign, or particularly we called out self-sovereign identity? So that's a link to the poll if you haven't seen it yet. We have 9 responses, and I'm actually going to go over those in the status because it's very quick. Let's see. So this is that's the poll, and then the current results are here. So let's see. Okay. So you'll notice that self-sovereign identity, or you know, something involving self-sovereign identity, basically is the idea. We haven't decided an exact name, but that one is in the lead. But actually, let me verify, because I think, you know, another thing that we brought up is if it's a lot of complications, you know, so with the W3C, well, we need to resolve this group and reform a new group if we change the name versus can we change the name in place? You know, do we risk losing members along the way? Do people have to sort of update all their mailing list subscriptions, all of that stuff? These are examples of kind of administrative complications that we wanted to get a feel for people's tolerance. So there's more people with high tolerance than I realize, but we have, you know, some to none in the lead at the moment, meaning if it looks like a pain, let's just keep the same name and resolve any issues in the charter. And I think the main person that we'll want to sort of talk to on that would be Manu, who has probably the most context in what that would require. So I just wanted to go over that part. And right after the status of the current action items, we'll get back to it, because actually the rest of the items are very short. So we're going to resolve, you know, the naming decision is in progress. After that's done, we'll be updating the mission statement. So all of those we intended to get done in July. That might flip a little bit, but I think we're on track to getting all of this closed soon. Let me check the queue to see if there were any comments. Yeah, so this is a good point, Christopher. Only 9 responded from 146 members. So, yes, there's not many results back. Okay, so if no questions or comment on that, just, you know, if you have any thoughts, you know, go complete the poll. There's a comment section where people have left some good feedback so far that we can factor in terms of next steps. So let's move to DID updates. It looks like we have Drummond and Manu on the line, and I'm hoping that we can cover them first, and then we'll get to the BTCR hackathon-related DID information. So Drummond or Manu, whichever of you want to kick it off.
Drummond, up to you. I can do it if you don't want to, or why don't we get your thoughts, and then I can follow up with the more technical spec stuff.
Sure. And I got, you know, I tailed away for at least the first half of the call, so I'm happy to join. We did have a big kudos to Manu and his team at Digital Bazaar. They did the conversion of the spec from the Markdown format to the W3 Respec format. Is that the name,
yep.
Manu? Yeah, respect. Okay. So anyway, it's not in that format. It's at GitHub. We're all, you know, set now to follow the process that W3C has in place for that. And so we had the opportunity. We both have projects, research R&D projects at Department of Homeland Security, in which the DID spec is a major element. So we were at the DHS holds an annual cybersecurity showcase conference at which all the research projects present. And so we we presented on our respective projects, and then there was a meeting of the principal investigators for the different projects on Friday morning, and that gave us the opportunity on Friday afternoon to have a dedicated meeting, which we spent the whole afternoon just talking about open issues with the DID spec from the perspective of Digital Bazaar. And I'll let Manu go through those. I just want to say it was a very, very good, very spirited discussion that indicated that there is, even though we have had something that's felt relatively stable for the last 6 months, we are reopening it up, and certainly there are issues that Digital Bazaar wants to go over. There are a couple of things that I had noted. We've kept a live Google Doc version of the spec, and there are a number of proposed, mostly smaller things that have been proposed in that Google Doc, and so what we'll want to do now is turn those into, just take those things and turn those into issues. I was pleased with this with the session, it certainly just I reported back to the Evernym team. It's like, well, there's a lot, there's still important things we got to go over, and I only was able, because of the DHS work, to keep a very high-level view of the feedback that was coming out of the hackathon as well. So I know that there's plenty coming out of that. So Manu, maybe you want to go over the specific things that we discussed.
Sure. Thanks, Drummond. Everything Drummond said plus one. Here's the spec. For those that haven't seen the spec yet, here's a link to it. So in IRC, this is the latest DID 1.0 spec there. As Drummond mentioned, it's in RESPECT format. It's just a blanket conversion. So, if you were familiar with the Rebooting Web of Trust, the DID implementer spec 10, all the text should be exactly the same. If it's not, there was a mistake made. I think the reason that we had the meeting with Drummond in Washington D.C. is because many of us are starting to now implement the spec, which is fantastic, right? We've got the Bitcoin stuff, the hackathon stuff going on. I know Digital Bazaar is doing implementations, Evernym as well, and I believe the Ethereum folks are starting to jump into implementation. So this is fantastic to have this many people working on it. But the side effect from that is, of course, once you start doing deep implementations and you're trying to lock stuff down, there are going to be certain things that work or certain things that don't work or need modifications. So the issue tracker has captured, I think, most of the issues that we talked about in D.C. We're moving some of the Bitcoin, the BTCR hackathon issues over as well. And as Drummond mentioned, there's a Google Doc with comments in it that we still need to move over. So I think this is just a general call to the group that if you are if you have an issue with the DID spec or potentially you're having trouble with your DID method spec, and it's a result of the DID method, the DID spec not being specific enough, please raise issues in that repo. So we're trying to consolidate all the issues in the repo, so we can start, tackling them, one by one. I think the major thing that came up based on the discussion last week and the input from the BTCR hackathon, is that there are concerns around the use of keys, like basically how we're using keys and how we're saying we're doing proofs and the Guardian stuff. There are concerns around ambient authority. There are concerns around how do you do guardianship. There are concerns around even simple, how do you list the keys that do proof of control. And so, you know, it's some of those discussions are not very difficult discussions. They're just like a, you know, what or what's the property name and how do we express the key. And some of those discussions, you know, like the Guardian one, may take a little bit more to figure out. But here's the good news. There's a spec, we have an issue tracker, and we're getting people raising issues on the issue tracker. So over the next couple of months, my hope is that we can hit a rhythm where we are doing discussion in the issue tracker, we come to a conclusion, we update the spec, we do an implementation, make sure it works, and then move on to the next issue. That's the plan anyway. So that's it for me. I think we have the, you know, we have the spec and the issue tracker set up. Hopefully the group can start using that and working in there to make progress.
Okay, so we have two people in the queue. One of those is me, so I'll remove myself. So some questions about that. One around the issues that you added due to the DC event last week. Are there any interesting ones that are worth highlighting right now with the group, or are they sort of low level enough that we should just start scanning ourselves?
The high level one had to do with a capabilities based security and delegation model. So this is a big conceptual change, but I don't expect it to result in large technical changes right now. Maybe down the road, you know. So there's a question on delegation and how we do it. So we don't want to. We definitely don't want to get into that discussion. But that's a fairly big discussion and maybe something that we want to raise at the Rebooting Web of Trust event in Boston.
Excellent. And then one last, I guess this is more of a comment. One thing that's been interesting with the BTCR method is that it is sort of a minimum viable implementation, and perhaps this is already what you guys were thinking, but the idea of picking a couple of methods specs, you know, the simple one and then maybe something more elaborate so that we can iterate on the DID spec without getting overly bogged down on the message specs. And, you know, now that we have at least a couple of references, you know, maybe we can sort of clarify where the separation is. That was all I had. Christopher. Christopher, you're on the queue.
Sorry, find the mute button. Okay, so the I summarized my sort of observations from the session in that email. We had some other people respond with sort of thoughts from the hackathon in this email. But I think the main sort of things, Manny mentioned that this, proofs versus keys or whatever. I think this is an important point, especially as we begin to move into the future, especially as we are trying to do different types of privacy technologies. That in many cases, when we talk about keys, we shouldn't be. We should be talking about proofs of which, you know, maybe the only way you're proving it is with a signature key, but has some real impact to sort of future proofing and to be considering that. Another insight is it looks like, you know, for a variety of reasons, DDO objects, the thing that a DID points to, may be composite, and it both solves some cryptographic problems, but, you know, potentially solves some other problems as well. And it just, you know, DIDs, we were just thinking of it as this, this singular object. When in fact it's probably composed of multiple objects. I think the other thing, you know, just as far as the spec as a whole, I think we did too much. I think that there's stuff in it that should maybe be in method specs. I think that there's stuff in it that maybe should be, you know, a 1.1 or a 2.0 target. You know, there's just a lot, a lot to do. You know, I kind of want to see. There was at one point a convention in ITF, which was that, you know, when you had a draft, it couldn't become final until there were multiple implementations of it, and you had to actually pull stuff out of your spec if you didn't have multiple independent implementations of it. So it's kind of like, I kind of want to apply that as, you know, it looks like, you know, UPort's planning on doing one, Manu has one, we have one with BTCR, and then there's the Sovereign slash Indy one that we may want to apply that test to this spec, because there's some, you know, dangerous territory here. These things are very permanent. That's it for me.
Thank you. Next we have Drummond.
Right. So I'm off mute, right?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Good.
Yes.
So one of the things I'm wondering, because I definitely, the session with Manu and Dave opened my eyes as to some of the key questions. And still, I mean, DIDs are the they're the atomic nucleus of decentralized identity, and we've got pretty much everyone at the table that we need to agree on that atomic structure. In some ways, it's not surprising as we head into, you know, much deeper into implementation than we were, that we're going to get all these opinions at the table. So I guess the main question I have is, given the level of effort that I think we're now going to want to pose on this, I mean, for instance, you know, Manu and Dave and I, 4 hours at a whiteboard, and we just, you know, sort of cracked open a few of the key things they wanted to discuss. So I'm thinking that if we're going to make the kind of progress we want on this, and I would like to, I mean, for example, I want to, my straw man is we should be pushing for revisions to the spec that we culminate in trying to get the consensus on the next full draft at the next Rebooting Web of Trust event. So we're doing a lot of work in the next couple of months. Should we have a dedicated weekly call on the DID spec?
Yes, and that's a question I've had as well. If people have thoughts on that, can you add yourself to the queue? And next we have Jan.
Right. So, looking at the specs, I see there's like an ID field in the DID spec, and then there's a key element there. And I guess probably the answer is yes, but I just want to make sure that key could also be like a pseudonym key. Could just essentially be any cryptographic object that you could later on use if you want to do like verifiable claims and maybe bind several verifiable claims together. That this could be like a pseudonymous public key that you could use. Definitions then. Is that correct?
Yes. The short answer is yes. You can use a pseudonym there.
Yeah, pseudonyms are definitely supported throughout.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and it's explicit in the BTCR. We're actually strongly encouraging self-sovereign non-real names. I mean, you may have a non-anonymous identity with BTCR, but the design intent is for it to be specifically for pseudo-anonymous and anonymous.
So would it make sense to maybe I don't want to change the spec, but instead of using ID all over the place, if you would use something like called NIM or something that makes it clear, it could be an ID, but it could also be something different?
Yeah, we've been using alternative name in at least because that's a formal schema.org value in the BTCR spec. And but I think we're going to have to do our own schemas for DID at some point. So we'll be adding some of those types of things.
So I want to get to David's to David Chadwick, and then hopefully if we can have a few minutes to talk about German's question about do we want to have some dedicated time around this? Because I agree, there's a lot we need to cover for the DID spec. David Chadwick.
Yeah, the my first question was actually about delegation. It seems to me that any solution that's going to be scalable has to have delegation of authority. So there was a point made, this is a tough subject, and we can't discuss it today, but we're going to put it off for October. It seems to me that any specs that we come up with have to be able to support delegation of authority, otherwise we'll end up with a credential system that is not scalable to internet proportions. That's my first comment. So I don't want delegation to be shelved and say, oh, well, that's a phase two or something, and here's the first set of specs we're going to implement this. I mean, are people agreeing with this, or do people want to shelve delegation?
I mean, I'm pro-delegation, but maybe in very limited forms to start off with and figure out what are our use cases, what can we do securely, et cetera. I just have some, we have insufficient cryptographers in this group at this particular point. When we actually start, trying to future-proof and deal with some of these new things, we want to keep things simple for now so that it can be analyzed, security reviewed, et cetera.
Okay, so on this issue of keeping things simple, I mean the DID spec and the whole thing about these distributed identifiers is not simple. There's an alternative way of users being in control of public keys, and that's the W3C Web Auth spec. So have people looked at that as an alternative? Because I mean, ultimately, the user has to have public keys to manage his DIDs. But WebAuth gives him control over public keys.
And to be clear, my ideal of simple is probably a lot more complex than most people's is. So.
Sorry, I missed that. What's more complex? Sorry.
Oh, I used the word simple when in fact what I mean is that they're probably quite complex. And we don't even realize how complex they are. I want to support delegating specific aspects. I want rotation delegation is probably my highest priority. And I think there's some other aspects of things, but solving delegation and guardianship and all that kind of stuff at all levels. From day one is going to be challenging from a cryptographic perspective. So I'd kind of like to pick the low hanging fruit, the things that are most valuable, the things that can be done as you said in a scalable fashion, and which includes being able to be analyzed by security protocol designer reviews and cryptographic reviews. So.
Yeah, I think obviously I think there are several different aspects of delegation. The one I was thinking of actually was the delegation of the credential issuing, and the fact that there will not be, if you take something like a Visa credit card, there is not just one issuer of that, but that's delegated throughout the whole global infrastructure. So that's the sort of delegation I'm thinking of, rather than delegation to do with DIDs.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, has that been thought about and factored into the design?
I would say as far as.
Lionel can, talk about the fact that, I've been approaching this and DIDs from a different perspective than maybe Manu has for
3.5 years now since we started, you know, Drummond brought me into that group. And I have to admit, my focus is then on what we've been not really good at, which was allowing regular people to be able to issue claims. I haven't been thinking about it.
Okay. So anyway, I think this, you know, that sort of thing is the sort of thing we need for scalability. We have to have a model that will allow the delegation of credential issuing in order to be scalable to global proportions.
I'm sorry, I got disconnected.
Christopher.
Yeah, I got disconnected somehow. I'm not sure what happened.
Okay, we'll add you back. And Manu has some thoughts on this topic, I think.
Right. So specifically on delegation, we've been thinking about that for a while now, not just issuer delegation. So issuer delegation is a bit easier. We've got multiple, potential mechanisms that we can talk about. The sort of delegation that we're interested in has more to do with like the holder or the guardian ecosystem that Everton's talking about. That is, someone should be able to say, here, use my credential to do something. Like, for example, someone operating in a business should be able to hand one of their credentials to a travel agency to say, hey, book a flight for me. Here's my, pseudonymous passport information or something of that nature. So, or, someone in a refugee camp should be able to say, I trust this NGO to do safeguarding of my credentials, so I'm delegating the operation of my, DID wallet or whatever you want to call it to this other organization. So, and more specifically, I completely agree with Christopher. We want to keep things simple, but we also want to make sure that we support delegation in the right way. So we do not want to push delegation down the road and then find out that we're going to be doing access control lists for delegation. That would be a disaster, in our opinion, and we would object to that approach for delegation. So that's why this kind of capabilities-based model, security model came up, is because we need to do delegation in a way that does not result in ambient authority, in a way that does not result in confused deputy scenarios. It is unavoidable that we're going to have to deal with that. I think we have to deal with that in the first in the first iteration of the DID spec, at least to the point
good, good.
Where we
oh,
know
good.
Where
that's, that, that, that's excellent. Yeah, that's okay. Fine, and that's the sort of answer I was looking for, that we need to actually address it. So that's great. Thank you.
Drummond, you have the floor.
And this will be short because all I was going to do was say reinforce the same thing that Manu was saying, that sort of basic level, I refer to as in our discussion last Friday, what we're talking about here is a really, really low level cryptographic, it's not a cryptographic primitive, it's a cryptographic control primitive, if you want to put it that way, the DIDs and DDOs. And so we're talking about delegation at the sort of most elemental level. And at that level, I think it's really important. I've already put in the chat that the refugee and at-risk population use cases. We have literally customers at the table, and I say customers both commercially at Evernym or NGOs at the Sovereign Foundation who really need that. So as long as we're aligned with that, I want to make sure David understood. Yes, we want to make sure. But I agree with Maynard strongly that delegation is, and Christopher, delegation is very complicated very quickly. So it's just that the most primitive levels that we need to support at the DID level is what I want to make sure that we're supporting.
So I agree with Christopher's did a time check, and so what I'm going to propose for Drummond's question about the sort of dedicated meetings on DIDs, which I think are a good idea. Can we start off a discussion on the mailing list, just figure out a good time for it? If we need a poll to figure out the best time, I'm happy to set that up. Christopher, I wanted to check with you. So we have two things that you were involved in. So one is, did you have any findings from the BTCR DID that you wanted to talk about beyond what we've talked about already here? If not, we can move to the data minimization selected disclosure. From your latest email, it wasn't clear if there was much to say about the latter during this session. So I'll let you decide where to go next.
Sure. So first, I think that there's still a lot of consequences from the BTCR hackathon. But I think the main thing, if any of you are feeling comfortable at the kind of the command line level, we have a couple of there's a node-based JavaScript app that will create a self-sovereign ID for you on Bitcoin. I'm shortly going to have another one that uses a different method for it, and hopefully we'll have some web examples for this very soon. So I encourage people to go ahead and create a web of trust ID sooner than later so that you can at least see some real claims and some real some real things. Even if they're going to be completely deprecated probably before October, it's been very, very helpful to be real rather than just talking about specs. Fine. Secondly, so I'd like to close that. As far as the data minimization discussion, I sent my main notes to the list, mainly trying to investigate further requirements and definitions for the data minimization side. It's required by law in the U.S. It's required by statute in European Union. But it's not really well described. So in case that we don't necessarily need to have a discussion about that. There was a request that when Jan presented 3 weeks ago that he go a little bit more into the text. So he has some slides for us if we want to share that. So I would suggest we have the remaining time for that.
Okay, let's do it. Do you have the link to this slide, or maybe it's posted in there already? Does anyone have a link to the slides? I think it was in our.
I have it.
Okay, great.
1 second. Okay, those are his slides.
Okay, Jan, do you want to go through this?
I'm happy to do so. So, definitely we won't manage it within 20 minutes. But I'm happy to start, and then maybe we could continue another time.
Excellent.
So I guess the slides. So what I wanted to do is here I wanted to get into more detail, actually present the cryptographic algorithms that would be needed to implement verifiable claims. So the basic one, you get a claim issued, or like you get the credential issued, and then you want to sort of selectively disclose some of the attributes in that thing. And if you go to the slide number two, so I guess you remember this one. So there was the user. The user has a secret key, and from the secret key she would derive like a pseudonym, like a pseudonymous public key. If you want, then she would send that public key to the issuer. The issuer then would use like now the special signature scheme, like a CL signature scheme, to issue attributes on that pseudonymous public keys. And I mean, what really happens is that credential gets issued on the secret key of the user, and then later the user would transform this credential into like a minimal disclosure token using zero knowledge proofs. Again, maybe on another one of her pseudonymous public keys, or maybe just even without it, and then send it over to the user or to the verifier. And so in order to do that, we need to specify this kind of the signature scheme, the CL signature scheme. We need to specify like a means to generate the pseudonymous public keys, which are really like Patterson commitments, and we need to specify those kind of zero knowledge proofs. And so in the following, I just have like the specification, well, not very formal. Obviously, one would do a much more formal thing here of all of those things. And right, so maybe let's just skip to, I guess I didn't include numbers here. Sorry about that, but to the zero knowledge proofs, there's a couple of slides down. And so a zero knowledge proof, I mean, some of you might know, but a zero knowledge proof essentially is an interactive protocol between a prover and a verifier. And so the proofs we're interested here in are, I mean, although there's a trick to make them non-interactive, in which we'll be using, but in their basic form, that they're sort of like a three-message flow protocol. So the user, the prover, would first send a commitment to the verifier. The verifier would then pick a challenge and respond with the challenge, and then the prover would send the response on that challenge to the verifier, and the verifier would then do some computation to verify whether that response is sort of in line with the challenge and the commitment. And so in cryptographic terms, that means that the protocol has to be zero knowledge, so the verifier should not learn anything about the prover's secret. The protocol needs to be a proof of knowledge, so you should only really be able to do that if you actually have the witnesses you claim that you have. And well, then sort of theoretically should be complete, meaning that if everybody plays by the rules, then the protocol should work out. So the next slide now is like an example of such a proof protocol, and I think that's like a very basic proof protocol. And but I think it's those beasts that we would have to specify. Was there a question? Okay, good. So here,
no.
So this, yes. No question. Good. So here is it's a very basic proof of knowledge of a discrete logarithm, and so it is also called the Schnorr protocol sometimes. And so the notation that I'm usually using for this kind of protocols, and I guess that has sort of established itself in the crypto research community, is it's like a proof of knowledge of some quantity of some secret alpha such that y equals g to the alpha. So the alpha, the thing in the parameter parentheses is the secret key, and the other terms, which are the basis elements here, are like public known elements. And so now for this protocol, the way it works is the prover chooses a random R, computes T as G to the R, so the basis. So this R is really like a randomizer for the secret key that the prover wants to prove knowledge of, sends a T to the verifier. The verifier, picking random challenge C, sends it back to the prover. Now the prover sends the response S, which in our case is just R minus C times X. So X being the discrete log here of Y to the base G or the prover's secret key. And then sends that stuff back to the verifier. But the verifier the verifier then computes or verifies whether T, the commit message, equals G to the S times Y to the C. So if that works out, it would accept the proof. If it doesn't work out, it would not accept the proof. And so this protocol we would have to specify, but actually we would have to do more. So essentially, and the beauty of this protocol is, so from the notation above, you can derive this proof protocol. So if you look at the notation, so it's like the term here that you want to prove knowledge of is y equals g to the alpha. And so essentially what the prover has to do, the prover has to choose a randomizer for each secret and then essentially compute this t value, which is just, computing as if you would compute y as g to the alpha, you would just compute like a t or a y prime if you want as some t, g to the randomizer.
Jan.
Yes?
Jan, it might be good, just given time and everything, if you jump down to the, you know, near the bottom, you have a section called putting things together, and just sort of talking about it, maybe not necessarily at the cryptographic level, but more of kind of the protocol level of what happens with a pseudonym and key binding and whatever. I think that would people, this group would probably find that very useful.
Right, but I guess what I raised the issue here is maybe not going that far, but so if we go further slides further down, I mean, the one is entitled Zero Knowledge Proof of Knowledge of Discrete Logarithms. So I think, so what I mean, if we have to define some of those components, so we have to define zero knowledge proofs for these discrete logarithms, we have to define signature schemes, we have to define commitment schemes, right? And so if you go a little bit further down, this notation I was just introducing, so this PK of curly brackets and then round brackets of the secrets, satisfying some terms, we could have like many exponents there, we could have many AND and OR terms, so, but we will have to define that this kind of zero knowledge proof protocols, right? And so,
yep.
I guess the question is, how do we go towards that? So we would have to define these proof protocols. Further down, I'm also having like the exact signature scheme. How would the signature scheme does look? How does commitment scheme does look? And right. So I mean, if you talk about putting these things all together, I mean, it's really putting defining those building blocks and then putting them together. So I think. Right. So the question is, how do you want to go about that? Would you expect just a crypto spec of these building blocks and then discuss those, or
let me pop in at a higher level. So officially, this meeting is a joint meeting of two different community groups, and. Community group one is the credentials community who is trying to figure out how to apply all of these different types of things. And then there's also the data verification community group, which dives a little bit more into the cryptography and the individual specs and such. And there's been some proposals to merge these two. And I guess, this is maybe where we can bring it out in our few minutes as a discussion. On one hand, we clearly need some more sort of underlying work. So I mean, one of the things that's definitely implied by Jan's work in this area and other things like the data minimization stuff that I'm beginning to do, that there's some really interesting hard problems. So there's some low-hanging fruit that we can begin to implement. But it does have some consequences for the credentials group, who is more designing the protocols and the data formats that are going to use these technologies. And I'm not sure this group, the credentials group, is really able to quite handle some of the cryptography and other aspects of that. But I think it's important. It's like my observation in the earlier section that we need to stop talking about keys and start talking more about proofs. Because at some point there may not actually be ever really keys in a traditional sense involved. Instead, it's going to be these zero knowledge proofs and Peterson commitments and such. I know my company Blockstream is doing a lot of stuff with Schnorr based ring signatures and Peterson commitments to do range proofs and stuff. So there's a lot of powerful things here that we want to leverage and begin to build into our systems, but maybe more importantly for the credentials community as opposed to the more, the deeper dive community, is that there are consequences that we don't want to get in the way as those evolve and emerge and create standards that can't support in data models and protocols that can't support these more rich cryptographic structures.
Right, but I guess from that point of view, you might as well just go back to my second slide, which really says, okay, so here's if you want to have the credential format, so you somehow need to be able to cater for cryptographic objects that are not like traditional RSA signatures, but actually you generate those signatures by zero knowledge proofs, and stuff that you use in order to issue credentials is also not RSS signature schemes, but other different kind of signature schemes. And so I guess we can define them at a high level view. But I think at the end of the day, we need to specify the cryptographic algorithms for all of those things, right?
Right. So I would put it to the group, and maybe Kim, you can bring it up for a question of, you know, how are we going to do these types of things? As Jan says in his slides 2 and 3, how are we going to move forward and drive those forward so that in the context? I mean, how many other people in the room right now are ready, willing to dive into into those specs as part of this credentials community, or do we need to have it be a separate community and draft more people that have that kind of level of knowledge, which is potentially another hour call a week? So we have an example of Jan, an acknowledged expert in this area. I know we have people from Evernim and other people that have some of this knowledge. How do we move forward when we could probably spend an hour a week just doing DIDs as well?
Yeah, that's true. We have Manu on the queue.
Just to speak on behalf of our organization's interests. So we are less interested in the gory details of how this stuff works and more interested in how we use these techniques to deploy product to customers. So the end result of, this discussion around pseudonymous, signatures and zero knowledge proofs, what I'm hoping is a spec that tells you how you issue a verifiable claim and how somebody uses that verifiable claim in a pseudonymous fashion, right? So I think potentially taking a task force and having that task force figure out what a CL signature scheme might look like for a verifiable claim would be a very productive, I think, use of time, but certainly not something that the entire group should participate in, specifically because the crypto is a very steep learning curve, right? So maybe that's the way
and
you can see it on this. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, so procedurally, this is kind of what happened with the Verified Claims Working Group, which was the credentials community authorized a task force. The task force was able to create some repos and things of that nature, but I don't really understand W3C process here,
There's no W3C process we have to follow in this group. It's all up to us. There are no process restrictions for us. If a group of us want to break off and work on CL signatures for verifiable claims, we can do that with only the group saying it's okay to do that, and I don't see anyone objecting to that.
And I'm not absolutely sure we need to even be as specific as CL, based claims. I think that there are, a couple of different approaches to this problem, and there may be some low-hanging fruit. And, I know we have at least one party who wants to do CL claims, but, there are, I want to kind of address the generality of how there may be some other zero knowledge proofs that are very useful in this space, but it is a different. I think it is a group. So, what I'm kind of hearing as a proposal, is that we move the data verification from being a community group to being kind of a task force associated with this community. Rather than it being its own community per se, and we try to continue to evangelize, driving those things forward and then feeding information back to this group and to the Verifiable Claims Working Group. Does that make sense as a proposal?
Yeah,
Absolutely.
So one question, though, is I'm not certain, and we're short on time, but I'm not certain how that's different from any other of these sort of work items. My understanding is that each of those work by kind of, you know, doing some work on the side. And I think for this topic, I think we have the right people. You know, we have a range of people that are that could make that happen. If we're talking about task forces as sort of more formal entity, you know, that sounds like more work involved. But if we mean just some sort of informal, the amount of work that, the kind of work that happens as anyone works on, like, say, DID spec or anything like that, and I'll remove myself from the queue.
Yeah, I think, Kim, you're absolutely right. This is no different from the other work items that this group is going to do. I think the key difference here, though, is that the DVCG, the Digital Verification Community Group, is actually a separate community group at this time. So I think Christopher's proposing that we say, let's not have it in a different community group. Let's absorb the security aspect into this group so we can kind of work on these things a bit more holistically within this group and not have to span groups.
Okay, and that's what I wanted. So that's perfect. Christopher?
Yeah, I would, yeah, I basically concur that that, you know, what the proposal on the table is, and we can talk about that, and we can close that in another meeting. But also, I think the example of the success of the communities group in forming the Verifiable Claims Task Force, and yes, it took a while, but, you know, eventually they did, you know, get that to be a formal working group. And it could be that the difference between a work item and a task force is that, you know, a task force is, to a certain extent, chartered with creating something that can be an international standard, which means that the task force at its end either forms an official working group or is able to, you know, give an item to another working group that can turn that into an official international standard. So there are a number of working group items that are not suited for and don't need an international standard. We can publish and stop. The data minimization requirements and things of that nature are in that category. Some things like DIDs are big enough where they may need to be a true international standard, and at some point there might be a DID task force that takes on figuring out, you know, do we need what do we need to finish in order to decide is this going to be a separate official working group in W3C or get some other working group in W3C to take it on to turn it to a standard. Manu, is that correct?
So I'd push back on a little bit of what you said. So I don't think we have to be as formal about it at this point. I think, you know, we typically, you know, in community groups, you just do work until it becomes obvious that you need to move this into a working group or a different standardization body. So, you know, I wouldn't say that there's a difference between what a task force does and what we're doing in this group just yet. And in fact, I would say we should stay away from any kind of, you know, more formal arrangement. I do agree with what you said, which is, you know, there are going to be some things we're working on here that we can just publish and be done with it, and there are going to be other things that really do need to go international standards track. We will have an idea about which track things are expected to go on in the beginning, but the more we work on them, the more sure we will be about the final home for those things. So I don't think we need to go into this stuff with any kind of preconceived notions. We should probably just you know, if a group of people want to work together on a particular item, let them do that. And then at some point they'll say, hey, either we're done or, hey, we want this to go on an international standardization track, and we can then figure out how to get that to happen.
So we're over time, but well, if people are interested, let's just hang on for a few more minutes. Jan, you're on the queue.
I guess I just wanted to point out, I mean, unless you standardize like the basic algorithms to verify claims and all of that, I mean, you cannot not possibly implement that, right? So somewhere we need to define those algorithms, and I think it's better to do that earlier and then sort of build some things bottom up than top down, and then figure out that all the top down approach doesn't quite work because there's no algorithms that actually support all this top down stuff.
My personal thought on that is I like the sort of approaches that Manny were calling out, sorry to pluralize you. So just the fact that we have the range of people from the cryptography perspective, people more familiar with verifiable claims. I personally am excited to just get, like, not having a strong cryptography background, but I'm very interested in, you know, sort of prototyping and am willing to dig into the area a bit more. So I feel like we should be able to work together to find out, you know, where we need to go next and get a good start here. I think that in this community group we have sort of a good forum for getting things done very quickly, and, you know, sort of from a very practical perspective without getting overly bogged down. So that would be my vote, and we can follow up on this if anyone else has any comments. We're over time, so, but, you know, at this point, go ahead.
I just wanted to agree. So a plus one to what you just said, Kim, and also to agree with Jan. You know, let's be specific about the reason we really wanted Jan and Maria to be a part of this group. We want to do international standardization around pseudonymous signatures. We expect there to be a spec, and we expect, you know, Jan and Maria and the Evernym folks to drive that. At least those are my expectations. So at the end of the day, we should have an interoperable spec on the table that multiple of us are implementing. Done.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go ahead and do this summary. So for next week, actually, we're going to start on the mailing list a discussion about when to have the DID spec. And in terms of this question now with data minimization, perhaps the people working on it can get together some proposal about how to start, you know, and I'm happy to jump in on that as well. I am going to be out this next week, but I will be checking email and everything. In general for next week, we'll probably just keep going with drill into DID topics, any other work item topics. And feel free to follow up on the mailing list if there's any other things you want to add for next week.
Yeah, I'm a little confused on what we should discuss next week when you're not here. When I talk about data minimization, I'm not talking about selective disclosure type stuff, which is what Jan and the CL SIG does. The data minimization is sort of more at a more primitive level of just not revealing information in very careful ways. It informs selective disclosure, but there are data minimization techniques that, you know, are just things like, I'm only sending a partial part of a claim. I'm not going to give you everything you asked for. I'm only going to give you what you need. But I don't know what the topic for next week should be. Kim and I have been, you know, creating the agenda from here. What does sort of the broader membership want us to talk about next week and the week following? Do we want to, you know, dive into some of these high-level topics? Do we want to dive into a work item? Do more on, you know, maybe not next week, but the week following, we can actually do a walkthrough of, you know, a complete process from beginning to end of creating a DID, creating a DDO, creating a verified claim, and then, you know, linking it to somebody else's DID and verifying the whole mess. We could do that in 2 or 3 weeks. But, you know, what other topics would people like to see for this call?
we may not have many people left.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Well, I like your practical approach. I just jump in, Chris. I was just thinking I'd like to see something do something. So working towards a demo in a specific scenario, and then walking through it, even in a clumsy way, that sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, why don't we plan? So, Kim, you're going to be back in 2 weeks.
That's right.
So why don't we plan for that one?
I'm only missing next week. To clarify, that was a slight change. So I'm missing next Tuesday. We'll be back the following week.
Okay. So I think we have a topic for for 2 weeks from now, and then maybe in 4 weeks we can do something more on kind of a higher level thing with Jan on data minimization, not so much elective disclosure, but at least some of he pointed me to a very nice paper that talked about some requirements or at least some desirable features of a system, and we can dive into that when Jan gets back. But I don't have a topic for next week. Kim and I are swapping back and forth. I don't have a specific target topic that doesn't need Kim next week. Any Manu, Drama, anything in particular you want to talk about that would be good for next week's meeting?
I'm pretty sure we lost both of them. Let's start a thread with them, and then I'm pretty sure we'll have a lot to cover in DID specifically. We can use the whole time for that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I just don't want to necessarily dive too deep into DIDs without you around. So I'm trying to come up with a topic for next week that doesn't need as much of your being there.
Yeah. We could also – let me just go – I'll go through the work items as well and see if there's anything else that we haven't really gotten into yet. Like, I feel like we could maybe get more into Joe and David's topic.
Okay. So, I think that's maybe a good idea. Jan, I'll coordinate with you for when you return on your vacation for a more narrow discussion and try to move this, both the work items forward, and then we'll talk about what the agenda is for next week, and in 2 weeks from now we'll do a walkthrough our implementation of it, ETCR. Okay. We're over time, so we should go. Yeah?
Yeah, thanks for hanging there.
Hey, Chris, it's Moses. I have a quick question. I think I
think
Wells Fargo to sponsor the October event, and I wanted to know who I should refer to. To you? To who?
Me. To myself.
Okay, I will send an email to introduce you. One thing you should know is Wells Fargo is a bank, so they have huge compliance problems. If you ask for a little bit of money, you'll get it for sure. If you ask for a lot of money, you'll hit the compliance group. So don't ask for more than, say,
you know where their line is? Like, is
okay.
You know where their line, crossover line is?
Yeah, I do. It's their P cards or purchase cards have a $2,500 limit, depending on your rank. If you're a senior executive, I think
$2,400.
Okay. $2,499. Yeah, basically, if you ask for a couple thousand dollars, you can put it on her P card without asking for permission, and you can get it for sure. Otherwise, it's like a 6-month contractual process to make it through the compliance group.
All okay.
Right. Okay, great. I'll send an email. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Kim. How do we close the log in? We have both Dave and Manu have left. How do we close the log in the IRC?
I'm not sure. Anybody else know?
Maybe if everybody just logs out and there's nobody left.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for hanging around a few more minutes. We'll try not to do that very often.
All right. See you next week. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.